writer Chris Krause is the author of several novels and books on cultural criticism. Her new book is called The Four Spent the Day Together. It's a novel written in three parts. The first tells the story of Kat Green, a girl very in tune with the constraints of social class growing up in Milford, Connecticut. In the second part, a middle-aged Kat has just bought an idyllic summer home in Balsam, Minnesota with her husband, but struggles with his alcohol addiction. The third part is a fictionalized retelling of the 2019 kidnapping and murder of a man in Hibbing, Minnesota. Comparable to Truman Capote's In Cold Blood, Chris Krause uses real-life crime as well as events and aspects from her own life in order to investigate the interconnected ties between culture, social class, and addiction. Here's our What We're Reading conversation with writer Chris Krause. I read this book, and then I read up on you because I hadn't heard of you as an author before. And I discovered that there are many aspects from your life in the story, both personal and professional. How would you describe your approach to writing in general and also in this novel?
Well, I see writing as a form of reporting, reportage. So two great nonfiction novels, true crime classics, were big influences for this novel, In Cold Blood by Truman Capote and The Executioner's Song by Norman Mailer. Both of them really capture the internal lives of their subjects in the way that novels do. But in terms of my own writing, I mean, people have called it autofiction. I don't really agree with that because autofiction, that's related to autobiography. And I don't feel like what I'm doing is autobiography per se, because my life is there, but it's not exactly the point of the book. I'm not writing the book for the purposes of revealing or excavating or investigating my own life. I'm investigating other things. I'm investigating things in the world, other people, people close to me, lovers, friends, family, but also political and cultural larger questions that I encounter in the world. And there's a lot of precedence for this in literary history. Great British writer Christopher Isherwood, all of his novels came from his own life and immediate circumstances, but they were not autobiographies. They weren't memoirs. I mean, even Moby Dick, which was another big influence for this book, is, you know, another kind of first-person novel that's written, drawing a lot from the experience and the presence of the writer.
So let's get into the book a little more. The book is told in three parts. The first is called Milford, and it tells the story of Katherine Green, your main character, or Kat, how her parents met in the East Bronx and eventually moved to Milford, Connecticut, where Kat spent much of her adolescence. Part two is called Balsam, and here we get Kat in her 50s to 60s. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She is an established writer now, and she and her second husband, Paul, have discovered the beauty of northern Minnesota's Iron Range and buy a summer house on a small lake. But much of this section deals with Paul's alcohol addiction and how that affected their marriage. Part three is called Harding, and here Kat becomes fascinated with a murder that happened in the nearby town of Harding, Minnesota. So I've read that the murder is based on the real life homicide that occurred in Hibbing, Minnesota in 2019. First of all, how did that become part of this novel?
I was in Balsam at that time. It was, you know, I was spending a lot of time up there. I was teaching in LA, but during the summer and the semester breaks, I would be up in Balsam. And we subscribed to the local newspaper, the Duluth paper and the Hibbing paper would come right to the mailbox. So I read about the case as it happened. I was just about getting ready to leave to go back to LA when the news of the crime hit. And I was immediately really interested in it because it involved teenagers. And because my partner, the character Paul Garcia in the book, was working with kids like these. He had a job in the town that's called Great Woods in the book. I'm working basically at a juvenile detention center, and I thought, oh my God, did these kids pass through his office? Because most of them had been involved in child protective services, foster care, and juvenile detention in the past. But also, it was the durational nature of the crime that really caught my interest. It wasn't just a killing on the spur of the moment, it was a kidnapping that culminated in a killing. And that made me very curious about what went on during the almost 24 hours where they kidnapped the victim.
And I'm guessing that that is a big part of the title of the book, The Four Spent the Day Together, which is also pulled from a newspaper article.
Yes, that was I forget the reporter's name. I think it's Tom Olson who did the coverage in Duluth. And that phrase appeared in one of his stories, and I was really struck by it because it was so quaint and 19th century sounding. The four spent the day together. What were they doing? Having a picnic, playing badminton or croquet, going canoeing? It was like the two worlds colliding in that phrase.
We're talking with writer Chris Krauss here on What We're Reading. Her new book is The Four Spent the Day Together. It's really fascinating how this section, the third section of the book that focuses on that murder, kind of pulls in things from Cat's life, some parallels with the things that Cat went through as an adolescent, drugs, running away, hanging out with older men, older people. So that's interesting how you tie that together. When you set out to write this book, did you see those parallels, that structure kind of in your head before you started writing or as you wrote, that they all kind of come together?
It came together more as I wrote. I think in the beginning I had a great resistance to connecting with the girl, Brittany. There were three kids involved. The four spent the day together were three teenagers, the kid who did the shooting, and his girlfriend, Brittany, and their accomplice, Evan, and then the victim, Brandon. Brittany was a really interesting character to me. I did finally make contact with all of the kids and their families. But I put off trying to contact Brittany for a long time. I was a little bit afraid of her. She's a very smart girl, very powerful girl. And I was afraid I might rub her the wrong way. And even from prison, she would kind of hex the book and tell everyone not to talk with me. But that didn't happen. When I finally did reach out to her, we connected in a really satisfying and pretty deep way. I sent her art books and materials in prison, and we had a number of phone calls, video calls, correspondence. And it hit me very hard then, as I got to know her, that Kat and Brittany, in a sense, could have been the same person, separated by 40 or 50 years. I mean, the world that Kat was living in at the age of 13 and 14 was a very different world than Brittany's. And the drugs that Kat was using, a little weed, psychedelics, hash, mescaline, very different from the drugs that Brittany was using. Brittany was addicted to methamphetamine when she was 14 and running with some very scary and dangerous people. There have been some horrifying crimes involving methamphetamine on the range.
I kind of wanted to veer back into your writing career. There was something in the book that you had said, I think it was on page 123. Kat says all of her fiction so far had come from her life, the people and the things she observed, but her position right now felt uncertain. Had she used up her life? She started to think she would write about somebody else's. And I thought that was a really interesting thing to say as a writer, as knowing that, some of the book is based on things from your own life. So I wonder if you can talk to what Kat was getting at, and is this also something that you yourself have felt as a writer?
It was very much a kind of cultural thing about the toxic atmosphere during the first Trump presidency when everyone was on Twitter all the time. And, rather than do a 180 against the sort of toxic use of social media and especially Twitter during those years, the cultural world seemed to embrace it. And everyone was trashing and doxing everyone else. I mean, it was just this kind of, raging inferno of hate everywhere. People trash talking everyone whenever they could. And in that atmosphere, where is the space for a book? Who are you talking to? You feel when you write that you're talking to an audience of somehow like-minded, reasonable people, but maybe not. Maybe everyone is crazy and just inflamed by rage. And in that case, what's the point of talking to people?
Is that how you feel today yet, or do you feel a little bit more
No,
optimistic?
of course not. Of course not. And it's been wonderful traveling around with the book. And, I feel like I've connected with so many new people on a variety of different levels. One thing that's been very satisfying is the connection I make with people on the level of living alongside addiction. Addiction itself is very well documented. There's a gazillion addiction and rehab recovery memoirs, but very little representation of the experience of the family members and friends of the addict. And it's de addiction is devastating. It destroys everyone in its path. And so connecting with people who, like me, have lived alongside addiction has been very satisfying.
Chris Krause is the author of The Four Spent the Day Together. It's What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.